This is the Quality News Network. Investors got bullish after President Bush addressed the mortgage default crisis with four steps to help homeowners refinance into government-insured mortgages this morning. An Australian newspaper quotes U.S. General David Petraeus saying the troop surge in Iraq is working. The general says the U.S. strategy is reducing violence and Al-Qaeda's influence in the region. The military said the deaths of a Marine and soldier Wednesday in the Anbar province brought the U.S. death toll in August to 79. The sum is considerably lower than the number of casualties during the spring and early summer. South Korea is denying it. However, there are various reports saying those 19 missionaries released yesterday by the Taliban were freed after Seoul paid a $2 million ransom. Officials fear the gesture might set a precedent. Two Egyptian students at the University of South Florida face charges of carrying explosive materials across state lines. Officials say that they found pipe bomb materials in their car earlier this month, and one of the students is also charged with terrorism for allegedly teaching others how to make bombs. Idaho Senator Larry Craig will resign tomorrow amid mounting pressure from fellow Republicans after his June arrest for disorderly conduct at a Minneapolis airport men's room. The fugitive Democratic fundraiser Norman Sue, who contributed to Senator Hillary Clinton's campaign, among others, has turned himself in to California authorities. Sue skipped out on his 1991 sentencing for grand theft. The judge ordered him held on a $2 million bond until his hearing next Wednesday. White House Press Secretary Tony Snow is stepping aside September 14th. He said that his cancer is not the reason. President Bush has chosen, already often seen, Dana Perino to take his place. Four stores were evacuated this morning on phoned-in bomb threats. No one was injured, and just like all the other recent cases, no bombs were found. Today's four threats were at a Walmart and three grocery stores in Northeast Ohio. The FBI is zeroing in on the person or group responsible for the now 19 extortion attempts. The majority of the calls appear to be coming from overseas. Ceremonies took place throughout Britain today, marking the 10th anniversary of the death of Princess Diana. And Alfred Pete, the founder of Pete's Coffee and Tea, died Wednesday. He was 87. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Have you ever found yourself swatting at a fly no one else sees? Chances are you're seeing what we commonly call a floater. Many people have them and have had them for a while. Floaters are condensed proteins located in the gel-like part of our eyes called the vitreous. As we age, this gel becomes more liquefied, and so whatever debris was once trapped inside is now freer to float around. They are typically harmless, but you should check with your eye doctor if you notice new floaters, especially if they appear after a flash of light, or if you should notice a curtaining effect of your side vision. Otherwise, that squiggly critter you see, especially when you look at a blue sky or a white background, is probably with you for life and should simply be ignored. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on Eye Care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
At a park in Texas, about 45 miles east of Dallas, entomologists are studying a giant 200-yard-long spider web. That's longer than two football fields. It's filled with millions of trapped mosquitoes. A federal appeals court in California ruled today that the U.S. Navy can continue using high-powered sonar during training exercises. The court ruled that national security interests outweigh possible harm to whales. The Commerce Department reports that in July, consumer spending went up by 0.4%. That's twice the amount of the increase in June. Walmart's getting rid of layaway, and they're also cutting back on fabric, their fabric departments, as part of a shift to attract more upscale customers. Environmentalists and union truckers tried to stop the flow of goods between the U.S. and Mexico today, but the White House said there's no proof that the pilot program will bring harm to the environment or take away jobs. From the central bank's yearly conference being held in Jackson Hole, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke said the central bank is on the ball. They're poised to act to lower rates as needed to prevent harm to the economy. A rate cut is expected on September 18th. The market reflected the news today. The Dow was up 119 points. To close at 13,357, the NASDAQ was up 31, and the S&P 500 was up 16 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Get around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 36 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. We are indeed live. If you are listening Friday, August the 31st, at about 9 p.m. Eastern, we are indeed live and on the air. We are in the middle of a thunderstorm, however. Doggy and I are, in any case. Doggy is in her favorite thunderstorm position, which is with her head shoved as far under the dresser as it will possibly go. She seems to think that will ward off any bolts from falling from the sky. I am pleased to say, too, that the DSL connection has not dropped. Normally, at least typically, we have had terrible problems here with DSL running away, as Bob would say, like a terrified chihuahua. Every time there was a thunder rolling in the distance, a little boom here and there. But it has remained stable all evening, and so I'm glad the telephone company finally got that taken care of. I'm so sorry I missed you all last night. We had a number of folks here last night who were hoping to hear the Ernest Cole interview. Ernest, we're going to reschedule Ernest for a future date. We'll know more about that in a few days. Ernest is a singer-songwriter, and I'm just so sorry we missed that. I was really pretty sick. I had to go to the doctor yesterday morning. I just felt awful. Doctor said I had strep throat and an ear infection all at the same time, so he wanted to send me home with a bottle of pills. I said, no. I'll take the pills, but I need a shot, too, because I have to get over this quickly, and so he did. I don't know what it was that he gave me a shot. Maybe just water just to get me off his back, but in any case, I do feel much better. No more temperature, and so all is well. I am a little spaced out. I'm not as wired together as I normally am, so bear with me. It's the doing the antibiotic shuffle here. Agnes and I were in the production chat prior to the show coming on, and well, several folks are in the production chat, And Agnes and I decided that the perfect theme song for Craig would be a rewrite of Knock Three Times on the Ceiling, If You Want Me. I'll have to try to work up something. We decided the lyric should be Tap Three Times with Your Left Foot, If You Want Me. Rap on the Pipe, If the Answer Is No. Absolutely priceless. Thank you, Agnes, for that tip. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you'll find links to all of the guests and to all of the audio archives from past shows, as well as to the chat room and the Head On Radio Network main site, where you can find out about all of the progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network. There are also links there for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page and links to help you locate any of the music that you hear on the show. Again, that's strictlyconfidentialradio.com. The toll-free number is 877, the number 4, Head On. That translates to 877-443-2366. If you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, feel free to use that. You'll save the studio a nickel or a dollar, and that's area code 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Mail arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the email during breaks in the show. We have a guest this evening, and actually, this guest and I, we discovered each other about the same time. We are constantly looking for guests for the program, and we've had some wonderful ones here. I was looking through MySpace in the music section, and I was looking at some of the artists there, and I came across a fellow named Matt Gold. And he struck me as being he's very different from the musical people that we've had on the program in the past. He's not, you all know I have a disco fetish. In fact, we even have a disco ball we occasionally post in the chat room, but I go too far with it. But Matt Gold is not in that genre whatsoever. And anyway, I made a note of Matt, and I thought he would make an interesting guest because he is very different from the type of musical guest I normally have. And I didn't act on it, but a couple of days later, all of a sudden, apparently Matt Gold had discovered Strictly Confidential Radio on MySpace. And I got an email from Matt asking about how it would work to put some music on the show, and I sent him back. I said, "Music? Heck, we want you on the show." So in any case, our guest this evening is Matt Gold. He is a bit of an enigma. I say that simply because I can't locate a whole lot of information about him. So I'll tell you what I know, and we'll have to pry the rest of it out of Matt. He is a pianist and a singer. He got his start at a very early age playing at every possible opportunity. He, with just a piano and a voice, audiences are just transfixed by his melodies and lyrics. In fact, he even has made the remark, "I think I reveal too much of myself to the listener." Very interesting remark. He began composing songs and recording when he was 18, recording his first album when he was 18. And again, by the way, he's coming up in Indiana for a concert soon, this coming October. We'll have him tell us a little bit more about that at the John Waldron Performing Arts Center, if I'm not mistaken. I believe I have that information right. We'll check with him when he comes on. We also have several of his tracks. We will play those tracks in full during the course of talking with him. One is a cover of Cold Hearted by Paula Abdul, and there are several original tracks also. So without any further ado, we'll welcome Matt Gold to Strictly Confidential. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Matt. I am fine. I've still got a couple of sniffles here and there, but I've got a mute button on the microphone that ought to save us. How are you this evening?
I'm good. I think there's stuff going around in the air because I'm have a slight cold myself, so I can totally empathize with you.
Was I fairly accurate in my description of you, Matt? I've got to tell you, you're a hard fellow to track down. There is some information. You know, a lot of people, you can find information, but you seem to be a little bit, you seem like an enigma. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what I got wrong?
You have everything correct. I think I'm just somewhat of a private person, and I kind of like it that you call me an enigma. It's very flattering.
I like the word.
But no, everything you said was perfectly correct. I'm a singer, songwriter, pianist, and I began doing this at a very early age, and it's my passion in life. It's what I really like to do, and I like to move people and make them, you know, feel what I've felt throughout my life, through my music, obviously.
Matt, why do you think you feel that way? Did you come from a musical family? Were you influenced by your folks?
You know, actually, Peter, I'm adopted, so I do not have any clue as to where all of this musicality came from. I feel very blessed and very honored to have it, but I have no clue.
Well, your music speaks volumes. I can understand why some of the folks in the audience are referring to you as being vulnerable. What do you mean by you think you reveal too much of yourself to the listeners? Your songs apparently are quite personal to you.
I think it's just I get into a different place where I open up, and I don't think I would normally open up, you know, on a one-on-one basis with everybody about everything in my life, and I feel like music is my outlet for doing that. But, you know, a good outlet.
I see. This concert coming up in Bloomington, that's in Bloomington, Indiana, that's in this October. What is the date on that?
October 19th and October 20th. I'm doing two nights in the performance series, and both shows are at 8 o'clock. And actually, this show is a little bit different for me because this is the first time I'm playing with a band. Usually, I would just play, you know, with the piano, but I have gotten a drummer and a guitarist this time to do some of the songs with me. So it should be a different type of energy that I'm not used to, but one that I'm very excited to, you know, learn about and do.
Excellent. Are any of the tracks that we have up at the studio this evening, are those done? Are any of those done with the new band?
I believe I'm doing Blistering Pink and Cold Hearted. I think those are the only two that you have that I'm going to be doing with the band. There's some older material that I have that I'm planning on doing that I think is really powerful, really good, upbeat stuff, because usually my music is pretty much, it's a little mellow, it's a little, I wouldn't say depressing, but it's just more, it's got a lot of feeling to it. It's very moody.
Moody is a great word. I was trying to come up with a word to describe it, and you can't say that it's sad, but it certainly comes, it comes from a serious place, though.
Right. I think it's sad, but yet there's that little glimpse of hope in it.
Are the band that you're performing with, are those people that you have known for a while, or did you just have to run an ad? How did that work?
Actually, the guitarist I'm planning on using is one of my engineers who helped with some of the tracks that I've recorded. And the drummer is someone I've recently met. He's just amazing. He's a musical prodigy in my eyes. He's only 19, and he is going to the IU School of Music, so I'm really, really excited to work with him.
I see. I was listening to Cold Hearted, and mm-hmm. I had to wonder, often when artists will do a song, they will sometimes change the gender, but I noticed where the reference to her, and you kept the original gender references. Was that something that an artist like yourself has to think about? Did you stay up late at night wondering whether to change the gender references?
I think when I was younger, I would always change the gender to a girl, simply because I wasn't comfortable with my sexuality at that point. And now there's some songs where I, do say he or him, but with Cold Hearted, I just kind of like to keep it the way it was, because I felt like it was sort of stepping outside of myself as I was singing it to maybe a friend of mine who was a girl. It was, it was different. It wasn't just this is a song about a guy and a guy. I felt it was more universal to keep it the way it was.
I see. It's certainly well done. Is this coming out on a new CD soon, Matt?
I'm currently working on my album, and hopefully, it will be out sometime in the late fall. But it seems I have a bunch of stuff on my plate, and I'm looking to move hopefully soon to Seattle to, further my music, and so I got a lot of things going on, but I really do need to, get a good, decent album together and get it put out the way I intend to, the way I really want it to be presented to the public.
I see. We are going to have a producer on sometime soon. I'll have to email you when he comes on. Maybe it'll be someone. I'll drop you a note when there's no firm date on it yet. But
okay.
He's put together some for several artists, and he may be somebody that, but you no doubt already have contacts and clues along those lines. I'm not trying to get into your business.
Right.
By the way, I should point out we're posting the link to your site in chat, but for those mm-hmm. listeners who are not in chat, he can be found, Matt Gold can be found at myspace.com/mgold74, and the 74, those are digits, not spelled out. So again, that's myspace.com/mgold74. Matt, have you maintained a presence on us? Oh, Lord have mercy, it's the antibiotics kicking in on my space for a long time. How do you promote yourself in general? How does that work?
Well, I pretty much do all of it myself, Peter. I'm fairly new to MySpace. It seems to be going, well. I feel like, where I'm at currently, it's hard to promote yourself, but you do have a good community for music here. So I'm slowly but surely getting out there, because I like seeing the numbers and seeing how many people have, checked out my songs today or looked at my page. It's always exciting and fun for me. It's a process, but I think it's slowly building.
Well, the people who I hate the word fans is so old and dated, but I guess I'll just have to use it. Your fans seem to be extremely dedicated to you. What group are they mostly straight folks? Or let me just say this at this point. The listeners to this program is actually a very solid mix. We have a lot of straight folks who listen to this program who are sympathetic to the GLBT community, and lots of GLBT folks also. So you're kind of mixing, speaking to a mixed audience. So I was wondering where does your base come from, and how does that work?
Well, I find, Peter, that I have a very diverse group of listeners. I really can't pinpoint that I could say, you know, young people only or middle-aged people. There's quite a variety I have found that, you know, listen to my music, and I like that. I like that I appeal to a lot of different people. That makes me feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing as an artist. I'm not just limiting myself to one particular category.
Well, that the people who I've read here just think you're amazing. Would you? I think we might. The listeners have no clue what you sound like. I would expect. Perhaps we could run one of your tracks now. Which one would you like? We can do all four of them during the course of our talking, but do you have one you'd like to start with?
I think Cold Hearted, Peter, is probably my favorite, simply because I never, ever thought I would do that song. My boyfriend actually suggested it, and I kind of laughed in his face. and I said, I'm not singing those lyrics. I can't sing this stuff. You know, this is Paula Abdul, who I love. But I was like, I can't do this. And he's like, well, why don't you try it as a ballad? Just try it and see what happens. So I did, and it's one of my favorite songs. I really hope that Paula Abdul herself gets to hear it someday and can give me her opinion on it. I'm still trying to search her out and find a way to have her listen, you know, because it's very different from the original.
Well, it's a beautiful track, and by all means, Agnes, let's run Cold Hearted by Matt Gold.
Anytime he needs it, then you cold-hearted snake look into his eyes. Oh, girl, he's been telling lies. He's a lover boy at play. He don't play by rules. No, no, girl, don't play the fool.
Matt, that is beautiful, and I have to tell you that there's so much more feeling in your version than Paula Abdul ever hoped to put into that
Thank
song.
You.
It's almost as if to her it was just something else to get out on an album, and to you it has great meaning and feeling. You did an excellent job with that. How is it that you, is there some life experience that makes you so powerful on that particular track? It's astounding.
I think, Peter, it's a lot of basically getting screwed over by the wrong men.
I
would have to say that's where a lot of my music comes from, is bad relationships or people that you thought were going to be something that they aren't. And
well,
you know, everybody can relate to that, I think.
Well, certainly everyone can, and I think we all go through men, they're all alike, you know.
Right.
What can I tell you? Yeah. Coming from a gay man, it really adds a new dimension to what our lives are about. One of the things that we do on this program is to bust stereotypes, and I think you just did that with this particular track. We try to present us as we really are, because certainly the media doesn't do that.
Right. Well, I don't think that I'm just, you know, strictly a gay artist. I think that, you know, gay is a part of me, but, you know, first and foremost, I'm a musician and a singer, and, you know, that song like you were talking about, I think that it speaks across the board, be it, you know, gay or straight.
Well, I have to agree with you, and I'll be quite honest with you. In looking through your site and the various information I could find about you, I couldn't figure out if you were gay or straight, or just who you were. And in a way, that's partly why I used the word enigma.
Right. That's very interesting. No one's ever really said that, you know, before to me. I guess because once you see yourself as something for a certain period of time, that's just how you, you know, you label yourself in a certain way, but you don't really think about it.
Well, this is very true. This is very true. Matt, do you see yourself continuing with music as a career for as far into the future as you? What are your plans?
I think my plans would ultimately be to get on a major label and to just tour and make records. That's really what I feel like I've been put on earth to do. I there's nothing else that drives me quite like music, and I just think it's a great outlet, and I think that's why my audience feels so much listening to my music or seeing me perform, because I really do try to give 100%. And I try to give them that feeling of, you know, what each song encompasses. And I just want to make music. That's pretty much it. I get very bored with the everyday life stuff, which, you know, all of us have to go through. But for me, it's never been a fame or a money sort of thing. It's just this is what I like to do. I love singing and I love playing. And, you know, without music in my life, I feel like there would just really be nothing else for me to honestly do.
Well, I was right then. And I say that because in looking through the materials that I located about you, that was exactly the feeling that came through, that you were indeed a very genuine person about all of this. It shows through even in just looking at the MySpace page, which normally they're all just a bunch of BS, but for some reason your page struck me as being a very heartfelt, genuine page.
Thank you. I'm just a pretty, I'm a pretty simple person. Like I said earlier, a private person, but that's just, I pretty much put it up front. I don't really BS anybody. I say it how it is, and sometimes it may come out the wrong way, but, at least I'm honest, right?
Absolutely. Matt, I really liked the song called Ordinary. Can you tell us about the concert? Is that one of your original compositions?
Yes, it is. Ordinary was written about a boyfriend I had, and I think a lot of feedback I get from people sometimes is that my music is too personal and I'm not touching different avenues, with ideas and thoughts. So Ordinary to me was, I tried to keep, I don't even know what I'm trying to say here. It's very simple, and it's not so deep and intense that, you have to analyze it. To me, it's kind of my perfect pop song.
Oh, God. Well, being an old club DJ, I guess I have a lot of pop song kind of running in my vein. Maybe that's why I liked it so much. I thought it was priceless.
But I think for me, it's also a happier song. It's a more upbeat, melodic. It's not so down. It's just every time I hear that, it makes me smile. It's like, you don't need all this extravagance in your life. It's just something simple that makes you happy.
Well, it's well done. Is it all right if we go ahead and play that?
Sure.
Wonderful. Agnes, if you would run that track for us. It's called Ordinary by Matt Gold.
Every little thing.
Well, Matt, I have to say our producer in production chat has just commented that she just cannot fathom why you haven't been signed yet. And I have to agree with her. It is quite remarkable. When you do a concert, when you do these performances, mm-hmm. do you speak between? How does that work? Do you introduce each song?
I try to tell some stories. I get kind of shy on stage and a little nervous, not in a bad way, but just it's hard for me to come up with things to say sometimes about the songs because I think they speak so much for themselves. So I try to give some insight into them, but you know, I'm just pretty much about the music, and I don't think I get over personal. You know, I make a few personal points, but I'm mostly just there to entertain.
Well, that's spoken like a true artist, and I suppose that's why artists who really love their work need promoters. Is that how
right.
it works? Certainly, promotion is huge, and being as attached to the music as you are, that's probably something you wouldn't feel comfortable doing.
Well, I think it's also hard for me where I'm currently living. I really need a bigger city, you know, Peter, to really fully develop as an artist. And I think I can accomplish that. It's just, you know, part of the process, like I said, part of, you know, paying your dues and going up the ladder. But I'm always happy to perform, and I'm always happy to be working on, you know, new stuff and growing as an artist. But, yeah, I really do want signed really badly.
Yes. Well, you certainly deserve it. One of the other comments I've seen in the chats is that you sing like an angel, by the way. And let me tell you, I lived in Portland, Oregon for a number mm-hmm. of years. In fact, that's where I DJed. My day job, I worked for an electronics company that was actually based in Seattle. And so I had to travel to Seattle fairly often. It is a beautiful city. It is absolutely gorgeous. Have you been there?
You know, Peter, I have not been there, and everyone warns me of the rain and, you know, will you be able to handle it because, you know, your depressive side. And I think it will do something to me that I think it will help me break out of my shell, and I will be able to thoroughly flourish as an artist. And just, you know, a change of scenery is always needed for anyone, I think.
Well, it's a beautiful place, and I'll tell you how I handle that, too. Portland has the same reputation, you know, all the rain. It's gray, it rains. And I just told them, you know, look, I grew up in Florida. I've had enough sunshine to last me a lifetime.
Right.
Bring on the rain. In fact, Matt, I like the rain. I really like the rain.
I don't mind it if I'm inside, but I hate driving in the rain. So I think I'm going to be tanning a lot.
Well, I'll admit, that's a different story, but I have to say that in the Pacific Northwest, it rains a lot. In other words, they're very rarely into these huge torrential downpours that we have in this neck of the woods. It's sort of a gentle, constant rain that happens, you know, normally day after day after day. And then there'll be some beautiful days, too, but it's not really that difficult to drive in because it's more like the sort of rain that you put your windshield wipers on intermittent, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Which is much better. As long as it's not torrential downpours all the time, I think I should, I can handle that.
Well, Seattle has a wonderful music scene. You know, that's a lot of artists have gotten their starts there. Do you know some people in Seattle in the music business?
I don't, but out of all the cities I've looked at, I really wanted to get away from the cold and from the winter because I really don't like winter at all. And, you know, Chicago, New York, those are great cities and wonderful cities, but again, the cold and the winter. In California, I'm just not really, I don't think it's my thing at the moment. So I chose Seattle, and we'll see what happens if I, you know, keep your fingers crossed.
Well, I have to admire you for choosing the Pacific Northwest. You remind me of myself in many ways. Bright, sunny California sunshine day after day, I don't think I would like that very much. Honestly,
no.
I do like the rain. And
you're out of Florida, correct?
Yes. Yes, the studio is in West Virginia, but I'm actually in North Florida. I lived in Portland, though, for a number of years.
Well, Portland's very nice, too. I had a friend who, she's from Oregon, and, you know, I've gotten several people have told me that would be another option if I don't like Seattle or it doesn't work out there or something, that Portland would also be a good place to start.
Wonderful place. I enjoyed my years there. I've been back in Florida now for about 20 years, and in fact, I've moved from Oregon just about the time they were building the light rail. But in Oregon, you know, there's of course you can see Mount Hood from downtown, and we're dusted with ash. In fact, there were lots of signs that said, "Washington, get your ash out of Oregon."
Right.
You remember those days? Tell us again, Mark, if you would. There's a question about when your concert is again, and tell us some more about where that's located, etc. There's a link to it, by the way, at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll find a link to the Performing Arts Center. But if you'd tell us about that for the people who don't have benefit of that.
It's October 19th and 20th at 8 o'clock each night at the John Waldron Performing Arts Center in Bloomington, Indiana. And tickets are $10 at the door. And I think it'll just be a great night, a fun night. I'm thinking about passing out Kleenex at the door, actually.
I could use a few right now.
If the songs are too sad, you know. I've had people come up to me afterwards and say, oh, I cried like three times. And that just always interests me. I just want to be like, well, what ones made you cry? You know, why did it make you cry? What, you know?
Well, certainly it's a wonderful way to communicate with people, and you certainly seem to have the gift of it. And apparently at such an early age, when did you start playing the piano, Matt?
Actually, Peter, I started playing when I was 8, and believe it or not, I only took lessons for a month, and I quit.
Wow.
Because I got so frustrated with it, and I just started to do my own thing, and that's how it happened.
So after they taught you, C major, you were done with them? Is that about the
Pretty much
works?
The middle of the piano was as far as I got. I mean, I could not sit down and read a piece of music today. I couldn't sit and play Mozart or anything for you. I wouldn't know what the lower notes were or the higher notes. I could figure it out eventually, but like when I do songs, like my cover songs, I don't even look at any music. I just kind of listen to it in my head and figure it out and put it in the key that suits me, and I just go from there.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. Do you play guitar too?
No, I don't. I wish I could play guitar. I thought about picking it up as an alternate instrument, but because I've heard it's very similar to the piano as far as chording goes. Something
well,
I would like to do.
Yeah. I remember taking piano lessons when I was a little boy, but I never really, you know, it was sort of like, well, that's kind of cool, but I was never actually fascinated by it. But, you know, it's to be predisposed to that is a wonderful thing. We have a couple of your tracks still left to run. One is called Still, and one is called Blistering Pink. Which is your favorite of those, and why?
I think it would have to be Still. I really honestly feel like Still is the best thing I've ever written and probably the best thing I'm ever going to write at this point. It was about a boyfriend of mine at the time, and, you know, I felt really strongly about him. But it's interesting to me as things change and people change and you have relationship breakups, I now equate that song with my current boyfriend, and I feel much stronger about the song when I think about, you know, when I think about him. It's interesting to see, you know, how the song written for somebody else can turn into something totally different that you didn't expect. And I wish I had written that song for my current boyfriend as opposed to the guy that I did write it for. Because it speaks, that's just how I feel about a person and how someone really moves me, you know. And that's one of his favorite songs, actually. My boyfriend is a dancer and a choreographer, and he actually danced to it at one of his shows and choreographed the piece, and it was, no one's ever done that for me before. And it was just
wow.
Kind of mind-blowing.
Wow. Well, I hope that he's going to Seattle with you. I mean, it's none of my business, but I mean, sure, there's got to be things for him there, too. Seattle's a...
Yeah, he is. We've been together a year and a half, and his name is also Matt.
That's funny. I love it. Oh, I've never met a couple that both had the same name. I always knew it would come up eventually, but I've never actually met a couple.
Right. That, so everywhere we go, it's like, oh, it's Matt Squared, or, oh, there's the Matt, you know. But it's nice because, you know, he's a dancer, and I'm a musician, so there's no competition that way, but we can appreciate each other's art. And, you know, if it weren't for him, I would have never, like I said before, I would have never done Cold Hearted, and I feel like it's one of my strongest pieces. But still, I love Still to Death, and he really wanted to kick me because I didn't do it at the show last time. I don't know why. I just changed my mind last minute. But this time I'm definitely, I better do it or I'm going to have hell to pay when I get home.
Yeah, I'd say you better do it, Matt. Just between you and me, you better do it. And if you don't mind, let's go ahead and run that. So I've heard it once, but and it was a very impressive song. I understand why you like it so well. Is it all right if we run it now, Matt?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Agnes, if you'd run the track called Still by Matt Gold.
Left.
Matt, that's beautiful. And I have to tell you, one of the things I admire and appreciate so much about your music is that it clearly shows a different side of same-sex relationships. You know, so many people from the right would want to say that we're all about sex, or it's all a game, or that two people of the same gender can't possibly love one another.
Right. I mean, Peter, it all comes down to just one thing, and that is the love and admiration you have for another human being, period. Whether it be a male or a woman, you know, anything. I never understand that one, how people can be so sickened or threatened even by, you know, they're just being stereotypical. And I like that I can show people, oh, wow, I might be gay, but I do have human emotions and I do have the same feelings as you do, you know.
Well, that's well said. And but for so many, it just stops at sex. In fact, you'll notice when some of the fundies, what we call them around here, referring to us, they rarely, if ever, use the word gay or lesbian. It's always homosexual, and the word sex is emphasized over and over and over,
right,
until it's the point that's all people can see. It's wonderful that you're doing something like this.
Well, I think that I think I'm a good influence as far as that goes, because I feel like everyone else, you know, like I have said earlier, gay is just a part of me. It's not everything I am. It's just something that's there. It's just like the fact that I have blonde hair and blue eyes. That's just part of who I am, you know? So why would you hate me for that?
It's a difficult question, Matt, and I wish I knew the answer. I think maybe a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're threatened. I think that I've come to the conclusion over the years that the people who are truly comfortable with their sexuality, be it heterosexual, and are completely comfortable with it, are completely unfazed by people who are not heterosexual. It's a non-issue. But the people who are not secure in their sexuality, which apparently there are a lot of them, are very much threatened by us. And I mean, we just see it over and over again in the news. I mean, every time I turn around, there's another toilet story, and I'm so sick of talking about toilet stories. Thank God you're here. You know, it gets old. And about that particular track that we just heard, how did you mic that? The sound is very good.
How did I write it?
And mic it. How was it recorded? How did you mic? Was it in a studio? Were the microphones? Was it professional?
Yeah, it was just in the studio, Peter. Actually, that song is, I did it in one take on the piano, and then I did it in one take on the vocals, and that was it. And I was like, you know, I love it. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to change it. It just came out.
Oh, that's wonderful that it worked that way. That's not the way engineers, you know, when you do get a contract, you realize they're going to drive you crazy.
Yeah, I know. They're going to be like, you need to re-record that song. And I'll be like, okay. You know what I mean? It's not going to be the same. I mean, I see strings in that song, or I hear strings in that song, or some sort of orchestral part. But I like it the way it is. It's very raw and very emotion-filled.
Yes. I think a word I heard a long time ago when adding, you know, lots of violins and stuff to a song is to sweeten it, I think is an old term. I don't know what term they use these days, but, you know, to add all the frills and stuff. And speaking of your vocals, go ahead.
No, that's like with Cold Hearted. You know, I wanted strings in there, and I tried strings, but it just didn't sound right. And, you know, someone said, oh, the guitar sounds too 80s. And I was like, but, you know, it is an 80s song, kind of, and I just like it. It's simple enough that I didn't have to go in and add all these fillers into it. So
I see.
Maybe I'll just keep it the way it is.
Well, I noticed, which song was it? I can't remember which track it was, but I heard, was that you accompanying yourself? Did they multitrack it?
Yeah, on Cold Hearted there are overdubs. I think in the bridge there's like three or four going on at once. Yes, that's me.
Yes, it was very good, and I'm seeing remarks like perfection in the chat room.
It's actually there's a part in Cold Hearted where Paula Abdul raps, and we took the rap and turned it into the background vocals, part of the rap. So that's what I'm saying in the background when I'm talking about, you know, he's one cold snake, no give or take. So that's actually the rap that she does in her song. So it's kind of an interesting twist on it.
Yes, I should say so. I can't imagine you rapping. I mean, that would just be harrowing.
No, it would be terrible. I am not Eminem, and no.
Yeah, I would be horrified to hear you coming out with the, oh my God, what have we done? He's gone over to rap. Oh,
right.
Well, you know, I noticed there was a write-up on, what is it, where are my notes here, on Blerico,
yes.
Saying that one of the person who wrote this was saying that his particular favorite song was Blistering Pink. Now, that Blistering Pink is seems like it's not certainly not a dance track, not by any means, but it seems to have lots more. What is the word I'm fishing here? Bouncy? What? You must have been in a very happy mood when you wrote that.
See, to me, it's still a little bit dark. Actually, I wrote Blistering Pink, if you can believe it or not, for Rufus Wainwright. I had read an article about him. It was called The Blistering Pink Light of Rufus Wainwright. And I was always entranced by Rufus. And so that's what the song's about. It's about longing for somebody, wanting them to notice you, even though they have no clue who you are.
Very interesting. And and was this something that you submitted to Rufus, or you just simply saw an article and...
Actually, there was one point in my career where I did a show with another girl named Kim Fox, and she had just been signed to a label, and she liked me, and she gave them my stuff, and they said, you know, we really like your stuff, but we just signed someone who was very similar to you. And months later down the road, I came to find out that this person was Rufus Wainwright.
I'll be darned.
So I'm kind of... It's one of those ambivalent things for me. It's like, darn, you know, if I had just got in there a little bit sooner. But, you know, everyone has their time, and I always feel like things go the way they're supposed to go because maybe I wouldn't have been ready then or been as mature. But it's just kind of a weird thing to me. Interesting story.
Well, Matt, who are your influences?
I would say one of my biggest influences is obviously Tori Amos. And I'm very diverse in my music, very eclectic. I love jazz. I can't play jazz at all, but I love, you know, Billie Holiday and John Coltrane, and then there's the side of me that likes the dance, trance, club music. You know, PJ Harvey is an influence, Depeche Mode, The Cure. But there's so many good artists out there, I feel, that it's really hard to stick myself in one category. But I think Tori Amos would probably be the biggest influence on me. Sinead O'Connor was a big influence when I was growing up. I like the fire that these women have when they're performing in the, you know, I like when they scream and get more rough with their music.
I remember the screaming days, you know, having, you know, been a club DJ, and, you know, I know what you're talking about. There's a lot of power in some of that stuff.
Yes. But, like, Nine Inch Nails, I like them a lot. But I do tend to like the clubby music, so it's hard for me not to want to write that type of stuff and not want to do that stuff. And I always go back to just my piano, because that's where I truly, you know, I can do a pop song, but I don't feel it as much as I feel something else, like just working with the piano.
I see. Well, you've apparently got a lot of things to say musically. And and that's certainly to be admired.
It's hard sometimes to find your niche, I think, because they want to, the record companies, I've been told, and, you know, record executives have told me, you really need to find where you stand. You really need to decide, what are you? And I don't like that. I hate being told that. I don't want to be shoved in a box. I don't want to be in a category.
Very interesting. Yeah, especially at the beginning, I guess they want you in a box. It's not, you're not allowed to break out of it until you've got a huge list of hits to your credit. Is that the way it works?
It seems like it, and I just, there's so many different sides to me. I don't really know where to stick myself, honestly. That, so, you know, alternative is pretty much, I guess, a label that would suit me. That's where you could categorize me, if you will, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a couple of comments for you. One is that you have a Harry Connick Jr. appeal, and
wow.
The other is that I am to tell you that the GLBT scene in Seattle is huge, and that public transportation is great also, and so is the music scene. And this person from chat is saying that they miss it a lot, as I do miss Portland a lot. I think you'll like that. Will you still talk to us when you're famous?
Of course, Peter. I'm from Ohio. I'm just a small town boy, and it's just me and my piano, you know, and it's not about all of that fame and stuff. I don't understand what some of these celebrities do. I don't understand where they're going. I don't understand how some of these celebrities are celebrities, but I feel like I'm very humble about my work, and I'm very appreciative of people that enjoy listening to me. It makes me very, very happy.
Well,
and
that shows.
You know, if I never get what I want out of life, I guess that's okay. I'll be disappointed, but knowing that I made that person feel something, that makes me feel just even better.
Well, you are a rare breed, Matt. You know, the world doesn't have very many feeling people anymore. Everybody's, you know, running this self trip. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, it's all about money, you know. That's what they want. It's all about sales and figures and what you can get for them. So we'll see what happens. I may have to start my own label someday if I don't get what I want.
Well, it would surprise me if you did. Quite frankly, Matt, you seem to be able to pull things together pretty well, as best I can tell. Matt, is it all right if we go ahead and run the Blistering Pink that you wrote about Rufus Wainwright?
Yes.
Okay. This is the track called Blistering Pink, and I think it's a great track. And Agnes, if you'd run that for us, please.
I'm not the one that you want.
Wonderful, Matt. That's wonderful. And Matt, I have some news for you. I was actually going to before we closed out, I was going to tell you about Billy Shears. Billy is our musical guru here at the Head On Radio Network. And in fact, Billy does a program on Saturday evenings that runs from 9 till midnight, where it's a wonderful collection of various styles of music. Sometimes he talks a little bit about them, but it's all about music. I was going to tell you to be sure and stop by BillyShearsMusic.com. That's Billy, S-H-E-A-R-S, music.com.
Okay.
The reason is Billy has run the site for quite some time. There's an amazing collection of, he does a weekly commentary. Every week there's a different person who sends a music track in and writes a commentary on it. As you look through, you'll find a couple of commentaries that I've done, commentaries from other guests in the show, folks at some of the other hosts, and it's not all about the Head On Radio Network, though. It's people from every walk of life. And anyway, in any case, I was going to tell you to be sure and stop by BillyShears.com, and I'm sure that Billy would love to have you do a commentary. But in addition to that, I just had news from production chat that Billy would like to feature you. He would like to feature the track Cold Hearted. He'd like to feature it on his Saturday night program with your permission.
Sure, that would be great.
Okay. I have your email address, and so what I will do is after the program, I will email you with Billy Shears' email address, and
okay.
And you can send him a you may have a higher quality track than the one I had. I don't know. You'll probably want to to send him a. But in any case, Billy, you can find out more about Billy Shears by going to BillyShearsMusic.com. But Billy is one of our folks, and we are quite proud of him. I refer to Billy as the world's most fabulous straight guy, by the way.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well,
thank you so much for that. I really want to get that song out there, actually, Peter, because I love that song, and, you know, it is my destiny to have Paula Abdul hear it, even if she doesn't like it, you know?
Well, it will be on the web, playable forever and ever on Billy's site, but in addition to you're putting a track, a commentary up on his site, he has said that he would love to have to feature Cold Hearted by you, yours truly, Matt Gold, says next week. Wonderful. Well, then after the show, which wraps up, I guess, in, well, I don't know, 40 minutes or so, I'll drop you an email with Billy's contact information. And
that'd be great.
Matt, you have been a wonderful guest. I have kept you on the program now for about an hour and 15 minutes. I should open it up to you. I've asked you so many questions. There may be just something that you want to say that I've not even come close to. Perhaps there was something that you wanted to tell folks that I haven't come across.
I think, Peter, you've pretty much covered it all. I'm just a musician who's trying to make it like anybody else, and I'm glad to be a part of the gay community as a, you know, a positive influence, as opposed to, you know, all the negativity that I think we sometimes see, or, you know, how people view it. And it's nice to just be a part of that. Actually, you've heard of the Polarico Project, I'm sure.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I love that site. I often stop there to find various things that would be of interest to this show.
Well, Bill Browning is actually one of my exes.
I see. I know he writes articles there. Is he one of the founders?
Yes, he is.
Ah.
So it's a great project, and I'm really proud of him. That was always one of our conflicts. Is Bill is really, really political, and I'm not so much, you know, and I'm the musician, and he's the politics person, but it's a great project, and, you know, he always gives me great backing and always has great comments to say, and so.
Well, yes, I hope you didn't mind. I actually, in the link, you may have noticed in the Strictly Confidential Radio page, I linked your name to that post.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Him and I will always be linked, I think, forever, regardless.
Well, I took the liberty of linking you there because he had some comments to say about Blistering Pink. Apparently, that's his favorite track.
He likes that one a lot. He always appreciated my music, and I always appreciate his passion for, you know, politics. He's very good at what he does, and I think he's making a lot of good changes for, you know, Indiana, equality and different things. I mean, I couldn't do it. You know, I just sing. I just sing and play, and he can fight the big guns, you know.
Well, thank God for you, Matt, and the other Matt. And I hope Billy is listening this evening. I might attempt to drop him an email. It's always good, you know, in things that like the Head On Radio Network to partner with political blogs. And
well, I found you off of actually his MySpace, so that's how I found your program.
That's right. He's one of my. That's right. He's one of my friends on MySpace. That's right.
Right.
That's how interesting. Now, I don't remember how I came across you somehow in looking through the music, the various artists. I don't remember how, but I think we might have discovered each other about the same time.
Right.
So, I definitely have a way to get in touch with him then, don't I? He's in my friends section. I can fire him off an email right away.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Well, Matt, God bless you, and also to the other Matt, the two Matts. I wanted to tell you a little story, by the way. I did a story, it's been about 6 months ago. It was a couple that got married, one of the first couples that got married in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
When they, you know, in Spain it's legal to, and they're apparently both part of the military. I think they're both in the Air Force. And anyway, they both, I thought it was so cute, their names were Alberto and Alberto. They got married. I thought that was the cutest story in the world. So that's cool.
It's very weird to have someone with the same name, kind of, but you don't, it's neat at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Well, Matt, you have certainly been a wonderful guest, and I appreciate your staying with us so long and allowing us to explore your music. I will certainly send you an email after the show closes with contact information for Billy Shears, and we'll look forward to hearing you on the Billy Shears Show.
Well, thank you so much, Peter, for having me as a guest. I appreciate it, and I'm honored and flattered, and I just, it's very nice. I'm very pleased.
Well, I'm very pleased,
so
too. And by the way,
you know,
it will. And by the way, there'll be an archive of this show on the strictlyconfidentialradio.com site on your calendar date, if you would ever like to download that or use it in any way you choose. You're welcome to do that. And furthermore, you're welcome to call the show anytime you like. You don't have to be have a regular guest. Call us when you get to Seattle. Hell, we want to know what the weather's like.
Well, I hope you get to feeling better as well.
It takes a lot to kill somebody like me. I've said before, one day I'll die, but I cannot be killed.
Well, as my grandfather always said, he always swears by Listerine and Vicks.
So, he probably lived to a ripe old age, too, or is still living.
Yes, he's still living.
Oh, then that's I better heed his advice then. Matthew, you
yes.
have a wonderful evening, sir.
Thank you, Peter. You too.
Good night. And there we have Matt Gold. And again, for those of you who are not in the chat room, let me give you his MySpace address. That's myspace.com/mgold74. And those are digits, the number 74. That's myspace.com/mgold74. And you can hear more of Matt's music this coming Saturday night, beginning at 9 p.m. till 12 midnight on the World's Most Fabulous Straight Guys radio show, which is the Billy Shear Show. And we're awfully glad to have Billy on our team. He's an amazing man. There's not much Billy doesn't know about music. And whatever shall I do now? It's 10:19. I know what I should probably do. I should probably do a break. I've been running for a while, and I'll tell you what we're going to do. What we're going to do is there's a request that's been sitting in my request queue for over a week now, and I keep sending it to the studio going, we're going to do this request tonight. We're going to, and then following the request, we'll go ahead and run atop the hour, at the bottom of the hour, or whatever Agnes wants to do, just go straight into some break or another, and I'll have time to do maintenance, cold maintenance. I'm sure you understand what I'm getting at. But in any case, the request, you've all heard this song. It's a very old song. It's played on the radio constantly. It's called Can't Stand the Rain. It's by a group called Eruption, but you probably have not heard the 12-inch dance floor remix. This is the 12-inch version of, and it's on vinyl, pure vinyl, of Eruption singing Can't Stand the Rain, and it's by request. We'll be right back.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Join us this Saturday at 9 p.m. to midnight for Night Sounds. We'll feature some brand new music, and this week's special segments will include music of the 80s, one-hit wonders, and a new segment with some great smooth jazz selections. And of course, Erica Richards will be on hand for Night Sounds dedications. You can direct your dedication request to Erica Richards at BillyShearsMusic.com. Be there this Saturday night at 9 p.m. right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, thanks for lending an ear.
I grew up thinking you could do anything and be anything because that was the American dream. But because I'm gay, I'm denied that. Because of people's prejudices, I'm denied a civil right. Because I'm gay, I can never get married. Is that what America's about? I don't know. Well, that's not the America I was raised in.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
And welcome back. Welcome back to Strictly Confidential. The toll-free number is 877, the number 4 head-on. That's 877, the number 4 head-on, or if you have unlimited long distance, the number is 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And I am so glad to be back with you tonight. I am alive. I am like Lazarus. I rose from the dead and took my magic Keflex pills, and all is well. At least all seems to be well. No body parts have fallen off at this point, is all I can tell you. And we have Jim. Jim, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I had a long break there. I had time to go take care of my sniffles and what have you, but I seem to have rebounded rather well. How are you doing, Jim?
Very well, and I'm very glad to hear that you are on the make again, so to speak. Okay.
Oh, thank you. I have news for you. Guess what came in the mail today, Jim? That movie. The urban movie, what was it called?
Urbania.
Yes, it came in today's mail, and so at some point I'll watch it over the weekend. It arrived today. I'm looking forward to that.
I think you'll enjoy it. Listen, just a few comments, if I may, okay?
Sure.
First, I enjoyed very much your guest's music.
I mean, he was
it's,
good.
The word that comes to mind is an agogic pianissimo, very simply stated, elegant. Elegantly and beautiful.
Well said.
And, without any type of embellishments, grace notes, turning movements, or mordants, or any other term, you know, it's just wonderful how music like this can fall droppeth and droppeth of the human heart, and put him in touch, or put the people who listen to it in touch with our own ability to reach out toward the creativity that's given to us by God.
Well, he certainly was a joy to talk to. He wasn't at all pretentious. There was absolutely no. He was honest from the first syllable to the last word. I enjoyed talking to that man.
Totally. And I would like to, if I could, segue into something else. And this is something that means a great deal to me. And today is the 10th anniversary of the loss of the Princess Diana.
Oh, and interesting.
I listened to the memorial service at the Guards Chapel in London this morning. And as part of the ceremony and the repertoire that was used, or the plan that they used to amplify the program, they used the Foray Requiem in Paradisium, which is one of the most beautiful, elegant requiems ever written. And basically, Foray was trying to portray the entrance of a soul into the kingdom of heaven and into paradise.
Really?
Just incredible.
Wow.
And
very interesting.
Such a wonderful person. And her younger son, Harry, just did a fantastic job in memorializing his mother.
Well, it was all very touching. Jim, it's hard to imagine that 10 years have gone by. Are you sure? It doesn't seem like 10 years ago.
It does, but she is basically a person who has been, you know, elevated over the years into a position of iconic status, and will always be remembered for her grace, her charm, her beauty, in spite of her flaws, which really endear us to her. And I can remember when I found that she had passed away, I had faxed the ambassador in Washington to the British Embassy, Sir John Kerr, and I concluded my letter with this, and I'd like to recite it for you if I could.
Yes, please.
And when she shall die, let us cut her out in little stars, and make the face of night so fine that all the world, or make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will fall in love with night and pay no homage to the garish sun.
Well done. Well done, Jim. What a wonderful thought.
And I noticed that they used the same song today in her memorial service. They used at her funeral service. And it's a wonderful hymn. And it's basically, it's a British hymn. And just the last stanzas I would like to share with you, if I may please.
Yes.
And the name of the country is, I Bow to Thee, the song is, I Bow to Thee, My Country. And the last words are, and there's another country I've heard of long ago, most dear to them that love her, most great to them that know. We may not count her armies, we may not see her king, her fortress is a faithful heart, her pride is suffering. And soul by soul and silently, the shining bounds increase. And all her ways are ways of gentleness, and all her paths are peace.
Very good. You know, she did have a hard time fitting in with that family. The Queen really just did not care for her at all, as best I can tell.
Well, so much for the Windsors. That's all I can say. I mean, their names really were a German name. and I can't remember it now. It was Saxe Coburg Gotham, and they changed the name from that to Windsor during the First World War. And the German Kaiser made a very funny remark about, wouldn't it be funny to hear a piece of music that says, you know, the Merry Wives of Windsor, the merry words of Saxe Coburg Gotha. But here, this was a wonderful human being who made such an impact upon the world and was so loved by all who met her. And I don't think she did it for publicity or whatever. I think she did it because she knew suffering and she knew what it was like to be marginalized, and she was by the royal family. But yet she rose above that and probably will outlive in the minds of the world any crowned head that should ever sit upon the throne of Great Britain or the United Kingdom.
Very well done. Yes, that family has had a lot of tragedies, and it must be hard to be royalty. It's hard enough just being normal everyday folks. I can't imagine the kind of spotlight that's like.
Well, listen, I'm sort of a royalist at heart and have a great deal of respect for the institutions of the monarchy. That may be in conflict with a lot of people listening to this show, but that's just my own personal show. But again, my own personal feeling. But again, my compliments on your guest. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, Matt was one of the good guys. Yeah, he loves his music, and he wasn't about hype at all. May God bless him and keep him that way.
Well, Peter, we've gone the full gamut to I Can't Stand the Rain to Remember Stormy Weather by Viola Mills.
Yes, my dear. I love that song. I have a version of it that runs like 12 minutes. I so want to play it.
Stormy Weather, just can't get my heart together.
Oh, I know. That was so fabulous. That was back in the day, was it not?
It was, as I've said before, a great deal of handsome nostalgia.
How true.
All right, old friend, happy Labor Day to you, and may you continue to improve in men and come back to us next week.
Thank you. I shall, and I might even come back with Viola Wills. You've tempted
me. And listen, and again, thank you for the dedication on Saturday night to my mother. I really appreciated it.
That was Billy's doing it, and I'm so glad you were able to tune in. Billy's remarkable, is he not?
Indeed it is. And you know, the thing about that particular song, so many people do it, and Cole Porter used two parts of his song, the introductory and the refrain. And I don't know if you're familiar with Night and Day, but the introduction is pretty important too. And I think it goes like this, and the beat, beat, beat of the tom-tom, as the jungle shadows fall, and the tick-tick-tock of the stately clock as it sounds against the wall, and the drip-drip-drip of the raindrop when the summer shower is through, as Henry keeps repeating, you, you, you.
Wonderful lyrics. I like that.
All right, and I will leave you where I found you.
wandering
you have a
around
very good Labor Day.
Thank you, but you're leaving me just wandering around on the internet. Is that a bit like,
no? That's just something. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that.
I know. I just thought it
was
funny.
That's where I found you, on the internet.
Bouncing,
I'll leave you there. And my cat sends your pooch their best regards.
Oh God. That's she came out, by the way. The storm's passed. She came out for a while, but now she's lying the other direction so that her head isn't under the dresser. Bless her heart. That's her storm position. But storm's over now, so head no longer under the dresser.
Well, very well. Listen, those creatures know a great deal more than we will ever give them credit for knowing.
Absolutely. This is a true fact.
And offer us one thing that we all need, and that is unconditional love.
Unconditional in every way. They have no malice, absolutely none at all.
And surely, I do believe St. Peter welcomed them before he welcomed any of us.
I agree. Jim, have you ever heard me say that the reason I think that dogs and kitties die so much sooner than we do is so they could get to heaven first and tell them who gets in? I've said that before. It's one of my favorite little stories.
Absolutely. You know, I fully believe that one day we'll see them when we cross that rainbow bridge.
Oh, my stars, they're going to be pouncing on us.
All right, my friend, good night. God bless. Have a good weekend. And
thank you, Jim.
We'll talk soon, I hope.
Thank you, Jim, and good night to you. Thank you for calling. That was our friend Jim from an undisclosed location on the Internet. I guess I got routed to him. That's bouncing from router to router on the Internet. I have a nice little email here I want to share with you. It's from one of our listeners in Tucson, and she gave me permission to share this part of her letter. And we've done several stories recently about transsexuals and transvestites and the various things that they go through. In fact, somewhere in my stack of news here, there's a vicious murder. But I won't cover that right now because vicious murders are all over the place. But in any case, she writes, "After I had surgery, I had some problems and took my questions to a place where I knew they'd be answered. I went to a cross-dressers chat room, and I said, 'Hi, guys, I'm post-surgical mastectomy, one side, and I'm having a hell of a time keeping the prosthesis in place. The damn thing wanders around. How do you keep them in place?' Now, this is just wonderful to me that the absolute wit of the person and the ingenuity of this person to go to a cross-dresser's chat room because she knew that they would know the answer. And she writes in her letter, "A very nice man instant messaged me. He asked a lot of questions like what size bra I wore, and she told him all the details that he needed to know, and he was familiar with the brand. And he suggested several strategies. He told me to test various adhesives to see if she was allergic and several other things. So anyway, the point of the story is that after she spoke with him in the private message section, she says, "When I started to thank him, he said, 'No, I have this information and you need it.' And this listener is writing, 'There is so much kindness in the world. With all of our complaining, it's good to stop and remember those random acts of kindness.' I just thought that was a remarkable story for several reasons. One, her ingenuity and creative thinking to go to a cross-dresser's chat room, and the fact that she realized rather than ostracizing her, they understood. I thought that was a remarkable letter. I have some remarkable listeners, and they sometimes write me remarkable letters. I meant to read that several weeks ago, but I didn't get around to it. I have another email from one of our listeners, and I couldn't agree with her more. She says, "As a concerned listener, please no more Larry Craig." God, I have to agree. I am so fed up with toilet stories. Oh, my God. And there are going to be more. You know there are going to be more. But, at any given time, there's probably 100,000 Republican right-wingers in a toilet stall at any given time. Oh, it's just pitiful. And she goes on to note that she's been on her radio dial since 5:30 in the morning looking for some analysis of Cheney heading into Iran. And she says, "Yet we're worried about some sick old man cruising a bathroom." Well, she's absolutely right. And it's true. You cannot go to any blog. You can't go anywhere without hearing about this ridiculous man who is absolutely not gay, and he's not. He's a perv. do with him whatever you want to do, but good Lord in heaven.
Oh, I have a little update on the nodule thing. You remember the mayor in Fort Lauderdale who, God, back to the toilets again. He was the one that was saying that sex was rampant in the toilets, and he wanted to put the robotic toilets in, and he's one of the people that sprang out of the Curl Snake Ministries. He's a plant. And anyway, the Board of Tourism in Fort Lauderdale, he is a member of the Board of Tourism. They unanimously voted to kick him off of the Board of Tourism, and which is quite amazing. His mayor term ends in 2009, his mayoral term. And they kicked him off because he won't shut up. He every time he turns around, he's sticking his foot in his mouth, and tourism down there is worth billions of dollars. In fact, the Visitors Bureau sets aside $350,000 per year for LGBT marketing, and they've increased that to $450,000 because they called it a growth market. But they've got conventions pulling out and all this stuff. All this, and I have an audio track. It's not very long, but I'll run it. And this is Nodule prior to his getting booted. When there's a gym down there. It's a regular nice gym, but it's primarily caters to gay guys. They've got what I think a pool and all the nice exercising equipment. But he keeps referring to it as a bathhouse, and it's not a bathhouse. And the man just doesn't know when to shut up. I mean, he's just et up with prejudice. So I think it's quite funny. Agnes, run that clip, please, the Fort Lauderdale guy telling everybody about the bathhouse, which is really a gym.
Asked me about tourism, and what I said was that the county had a dilemma because one county agency is fighting this battle to reduce AIDS in the community. Another agency of the county is inviting people into our community to have a good time. And I studied some of the Convention Visitors Bureau material, and I did notice that in the Rainbow Plan 2007, we are listing a bathhouse, the main bathhouse that's in Fort Lauderdale. Invite gay tourists here to experience the weather and the diving and the tennis and fine dining and the culture that we have to offer. But if we're going to lose a little business because we're not promoting the sex clubs and the bathhouses, then so be it. We never said that we shouldn't promote gay tourism in Fort Lauderdale, but I do think that we should do it tastefully, and we should do it with public health in mind.
You've clouded some issues that our industry is very, very troubled and concerned about. HIV is a very serious problem. It is spread by unprotected sex, all kinds of unprotected sex, and you imply in some of your rhetoric that it's limited to a segment of our population and an important segment of our business.
Don't make us all victims. We are not all victims. We are not all doing these awful, terrible things. And for the record, the club, which happens to be this quote bathhouse, some people actually do go there just to work out because they have a full-blown gym facility. They have a beautiful, beautiful pool facility. It doesn't mean I'm going to go there and have anonymous sex. So who are you to judge me for going to a gym?
I'm asking you to stop. I really am asking you to stop on behalf of myself personally, but on behalf of the industry, because this is continuing to escalate.
Just amazing, huh? And, that's... What can you say? We have Steady on the phone. Welcome, Steady. Welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Thank you. Thank you. First time calling on your show, but love the horn. And I just want to... We're settling in Oregon and being transplanted, but we're up in the foothills amongst the junipers and some party people out there, what they're calling sagebrush rock. And tomorrow there's supposed to be like five bands, but they've got one of these portable diesel generators and stage set up with the wood engraving sagebrush rock on the stage and a sound booth and a couple little kids running around and sun's just setting, people throwing horseshoes. But Peter, how are you, man? It's come a long way since we exchanged CDs.
I guess. Yes, if they could see me now, that old gag of mine, eating fancy food and drinking fancy wine. Yes, I am on the finest head-on radio network, progressive network in the country.
I had a little bit of problem hearing that last one. I'm on a cell in the wilderness, but gosh, I'm glad I made the connection, and I want to say hi to everybody. I will have to get a better connection next time, but I hope I can be heard, and I want to say hi to everyone, and first starting from the north and going to the south and out to the east, to Smitty and Radine and Humboldt, to Plaster Roy and New Mexico, China Deb and Leonard Clark in Arizona, Texas Betsy in Texas, Ray in Louisiana. All these people helped me along the way, and I just want to, you know, use your time and say hi. I'm doing okay out here.
Great. Well, thank you so much for calling, Steady. And you're right, the cell phone connection is a little flaky, but we did get to hear your list of shout-outs.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. Have a great weekend, TGIF, from Christmas Valley, Oregon.
Thank you, sir, and good evening to you. Thanks for calling, Steady. And that was our good friend Steady from a little teeny tiny place in Oregon. And, you know, I lived in Oregon for about 8 years, and I never made it there. That's in southern Oregon. I think it's Christmas Valley, something like that. And it's near Madras, Oregon. And although I explored the coast and northern part of Oregon pretty well, I never made it down there. I always wondered what that's like. I have a story here I want to share with you. Do you remember the story that we told a few weeks ago? Well, maybe it wasn't a few weeks ago. It was fairly recently. We told a story about Dobson. And how he beat the hell out of the little doggy, and what a disturbed individual he is, and a control freak. We had a good time with that story. Well, I have a little Jerry Falwell story. And this is about Jerry Falwell's lunatic father. So if you ever wonder how Falwell got the way he was, and this is probably a story that could change the details some. It could probably apply to Dobson's father. I think all of them have huge father problems. But this is a story from Falwell's autobiography, mind you, and it goes a long way toward explaining the sickness that is the right-wing religion industry. And it reads, "There were times that Dad's pranks," Jerry's talking about his father's, "that Dad's pranks bordered on cruelty. One of his oil company workers, a one-legged man he nicknamed Crip, complained about everything. Well, Dad and Crip's co-workers got tired of the old man bellyaching and decided to take revenge. One morning, Crip called in sick, and Dad," Jerry Falwell's father, "volunteered to send lunch to his grateful employee. Well, Dad," Jerry Falwell's father, "and his chums caught Crisp's black tomcat," his kitty cat, "killed it, skinned it, and cooked it in the kitchen in one of Dad's little restaurants. They called it squirrel meat and delivered it to Crip on a linen-covered tray. When Crip returned to work the next morning, Dad and his co-conspirators asked how he liked the meal. They knew, of course, he would complain because apparently he complains a lot about things, and so they expected him to complain. And Crip called it the toughest squirrel meat he had ever eaten. And, of course, then they told him what he had really eaten with great glee and laughter." Now, how sick is that? You know, when you grow up with a father like that, I mean, it seems to me that would be a major clue that you're sort of screwed up. You know, that your father is completely insane. It seems to me that that might give a person a clue that maybe my outlook on the world is a little bent. Maybe I'm not getting things quite straight. You know, just amazing to me. And Dobson either, they show no sign at all of wondering how growing up in a family like that warped their own worldview. This thing about control and, oh, Jesus. But I just wanted to tell you the little Jerry Falwell thing. And one other thing I wanted to get in this evening quickly. Why can't dwarves get married in Middle Earth? You ever wonder about that? Well, there is a site called, it's a gay gaming site. And the site, I believe, is called Gay Gamers. I'm just scanning for it here. But in any case, they were attacked with a denial of service attack. You know, that's really what the story is about, the denial of a service attack. But it's just interesting that it was a gay gaming site. And it's interesting, too, to point out to you, a lot of, one of the things they talk about at the gay gaming site is you know, in various games like, The Sims and you know, and like these role-playing games like The Dwarves in Middle-earth, and it's a whole long list of things. Why can't same-sex characters get married? Now, in some of them you can. It's not listed in the directions, but, you know, it's not pushed. But, you know, if it happened to occur to you while you were playing the game that one of your characters should marry a character of the same gender, some games won't allow it. Now, some games do, but that's one of the things they talk about that I guess that really ticked off some fundamentalist gamers. Interesting story there. Looking for some of the other titles here. Not seeing them. But there are various screenshots from The Lord of the Rings and The Shadows of Angmar. And the overall story is why doesn't the new Lord of the Rings game allow the gay dwarves? Now, you could have a gay dwarf, but he cannot get married. And so that's pretty much going to close out a Friday evening on Strictly Confidential. Thank you for bearing with me in my illness. I'd like to thank the chat moderators and our news ninjas who sent me an awful lot of material. I couldn't do it without you, and they are in constant pursuit of the truth. And be sure and stop by strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You can find out all about the music and the shows and everything you can possibly want to know about the Head On Radio Network. So in closing, here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to...